Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform, this Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, the professional, the companies within industry. You're changing the world. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. You're impacting lives. So that's what this is. This platform's all about. And consider in 2020 to be on this podcast because I would love to be able to talk to you. And we're brought to you by those wonderful people at Stratum Consulting Partners. That's Stratum CP. That's their domain, Stratum CP, Stratum CP. And I'm telling you right now, if you've ever been a part of any implementation whatsoever and you're saying to yourself, oh my gosh, I have, and it's always challenging, Stratum Consulting Partners, you know what they do? They make that whole process smoother, easier, less stressful, and they get it done. They're full of people with great passion for your success. That's Stratum Consulting Partners. Go to stratumcp.com. Find out more. You will not be disappointed. You won't. Just telling you right now, great people, great company, without a doubt. Hey, it's been a little while since I've been in the studio, so I'm so glad that I'm here. Sort of unique. We've been traveling quite a bit, and we've been doing a lot of podcasts from other conferences, and so I get to do this from the studio. We've got a great interview. So you know as well as I do that I'm very passionate about industry, the success of industry, and your success. And one of the challenges that we have within industry is that, okay, we're going to Industry 4.0. You've heard me talk about Industry 4.0. That's the digitization of just industry in general, right? And a part of that, of course, is technology. And the technology that is necessary for you as a company, as a professional, to be successful. In this interview, we're going to be talking to a young man. And everybody's young because I'm not that young. And his name is Joey Pate. He's the supervisor with a company called Associated Electric Cooperative. Now, it's a cooperative, right? And he's responsible for application development there. And what makes this conversation so unique is he's got to take this cooperative business model and bring them under one consolidated sort of technology, which, being a utility guy myself, I know that's challenging. But I'm telling you, in this interview, you'll just get a sense that Joey knows what he's talking about. Him and his team and the companies that they work with to try to work to success and provide some tangible solutions. So if you're interested, if you're doing an enterprise or you're considering an enterprise solution, you need to contact Joey. And I'll have all that contact information out there on industrialtalk.com. And reach out. I guarantee you, he has some answers for you. And if you're struggling, he's an open book. Great young man, bright professional future. So without listening to me, yammer on and on and on, here's Joey Pate. Great guy. Mad skills. Go out to his LinkedIn. Joey Pate. All right, Joey, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. I know that we were trying to connect, I don't know, last week, but I failed on that. Thank you very much for being so flexible. Tell the listeners a little bit about your background, where you come from, why you're such an incredible professional, and why you like hunting and fishing. I just threw that out there. Don't worry about that one.
So I'm a business professional in IS industry. So I help kind of lead products and utilities.
IS, right? Information services.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so mm-hmm. I work in the utility industry space. We're a wholesale power provider and we're member owned. So we're a little different than many utilities out there being a cooperative. And so we're a good size cooperative. We have, a little over 6,300 megawatts that we have available to us through a variety of different plants. And we also have a little bit of hydro and wind as well. But that's a little company background. Me specifically, what I do is help, all the users throughout the company be able to do their jobs better through the use of technology. And how the world is today, needing that technology, we really kind of help give them an extended hand and extend their capabilities with technology.
Yeah, I would imagine a co-op, given the structure of a co-op, would really sort of embrace this necessity to sort of leverage other opportunities. But you're centralized. You're a shared service type of a structure, right?
Yeah, so we're our own network really throughout Missouri. And so we provide up to 910,000 meters throughout Missouri, Southeast Iowa, Northeast Oklahoma. And so that's where we provide that power to. But so we're kind of centralized as far as our internal customers, and our customers is our own team, right? We're all on the same team, but we've got locations spread out all throughout the state. And we've even got a little bit in Arkansas, some in Oklahoma, but we provide, you know, products and services to all of those different locations.
Well, I think for the listeners, listeners out there listening, because you're listeners, what's interesting about Joey and why I wanted to get him on the Industrial Talk podcast was because of the co-op structure and because of technology and because of his role and his team's role is how do you, and I'm going to pose this question and be able to pose this to the listeners, be able to take these disconnected and semi-disconnected autonomous businesses and be able to bring them into a common technology platform. And with technology, Industry 4.0, all of that stuff coming together, that's why Joey's on the Industrial Talk podcast, because I know that you, listeners out there, are struggling with the same challenge. So with that said, Joey, you're an IS organization. You have multiple, you know, utility companies that are a part of this co-op. If you're watching the video out there, I'm using my hands as a way of being able to describe it. But now, because I would imagine they used to be islands, now you're trying to bring them into the fold through technology. What are the challenges that you're dealing with as a result of that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And we've done a lot of work for a long time working to solve that. Because like you mentioned, when you get, you know, your different facilities in different locations, they are almost like they could be their own company in a way, and they run that way. And so you get different cultures with all these different locations. But as an organization, we want them all to kind of be the same and doing some of the same work and living and breathing some of the same processes. And so whenever we do big initiatives or big products, like an EAM implementation that we're going through right now, we really work early to build that user buy-in. And we don't do anything unless we're doing it from the user out, because we've learned we have to get them engaged early.
And you can't shove that down their throat. Yeah, they have to be willing to be a part of the solution, most definitely. Absolutely.
That's right. And we do it for a lot of reasons, because before we do any type of solution, we have to understand what the real problem is. And without getting those users involved, how do we know what the real problem is and what problems they're facing on a day-to-day basis? And so we like to look at ourselves a little different with our IS team, but I'm sure there's a lot that do it the same. But we are very focused on getting our team out there and understanding the core business. And we, you know, we wrap our teams around product ecosystems, so they're not supporting products that don't correlate with each other. And so they've got a set base of users out there so they can get really familiar with that user base, understand their business processes, understand their problems, understand their successes, so we can help build that strategic roadmap for what they need and what's going to help them be better at their jobs.
Yeah, but you have an extra challenge, because you're not going to want to just create one-off business processes for this particular. You've got to say, okay, I understand your problem. I understand your business. Your business is similar to all of these other businesses, so we can leverage and create a common process that benefits everybody and creates a level of efficiency. That's the challenge you got.
That's right. And that's why we build these cross-functional teams with all of these big initiatives that we do. We got to get people, key players from each location. And sometimes it's people that just understand, you know, what that EAM really well. But oftentimes we try to get people that can help make decisions and drive change at those locations as well, because we need influencers. We need those people that everybody around them looks up to. That way they're going out being self-ambassadors of the process and the products that we're looking at. And so that cross-functional team is what helps bring that all together.
Yeah. And so listeners out there, one, you got to identify, I mean, we've been preaching this on Industrial Talk quite a bit. Understand that problem. What is that problem we're trying to solve? You can't just say, I think you have this problem and I think this is your solution and shove it down their throat. That's one thing. But you also have to understand their business and have that buy-in to be able to do what you need to do to make true improvements. And then with Joey here, we're talking about cross-functional teams and getting across the board buy-in. So what I hear you saying, Joey, so in this, you know, special cabal of professionals, they can have that conversation and somebody from another location can hear about it and say, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. We don't do it that way, that type of thing, and be able to work it out in that type of a cross-functional structure.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I'll use some examples from our process that we're using right now, which is the EAM implementation that we're going through with Stratum. They, part of their early process is leading us through a discovery session and then to determine what is our as-is state. So, and that's really helping us understand where we are today and what our current problems are.
And you identify the gaps. It's like, we've always done it that way.
But, that's right.
You know, you just live with the pain as you map all that out. You know, that's funny. Continue. That's I'm sorry about that.
And when you do a lot of interviews and you talk with a lot of people from different locations, you start, things are reoccurring, right? The common problems are consistent across everywhere, but you need to have those conversations to make it clear on what those things are. But then we get into that discovery or the design phase of building out what's our 2B state going to be. And if we went into that with Stratum with a small team or my team that's going to be implementing this product, we wouldn't be successful, right? We would be building solutions for problems that we think are problems, and we don't know if it's going to help the day in the life of our users out there. Right. And so what my role was, I was a facilitator, and I brought people together from all the locations, and Stratum helped lead that meeting to a success. But my role was very minimal, because all I'm doing is getting the right people in the room to make those decisions. And I'm just going to help implement the system to what they need. And so early on in my career, I probably would have been different, thinking I got to help them understand what they need in the system. But that's completely wrong, right? And that's approaching it to a way where you're going to fail.
But you have to understand a little bit about the system that you're implementing. In this case, it's an EAM product.
Yep.
You have to understand relatively, to a certain extent, the functionality, because you can't sit there and go, oh, I understand the as is. All right, let's talk a little bit about the 2Bs. Here are the gaps. Let's bridge those gaps. Now let's try to shoehorn a technology into that structure. You can't do that either. You've got to balance a lot of things.
That's right. And I got to be able to talk that talk with the people as well to really help translate what their problems and needs are into the system. And so that's where my role comes in, is translating into the EAM system and really helping turn their wants and their needs into something that's valuable and easy to use and helps with that user adoption and usability.
So we are going to go down to some sort of those actionable points that our listeners are going to want to hear, but how do you get to a point where you're going through, you're defining, you've got your cross-functional teams, you have a specific challenge because you're a part of a co-op that is pretty, I mean, you got a lot of dynamics with that, but you get that cross-functional team, you start talking about your as-is, then you start defining the 2Bs and all of that good stuff. How do you gain consensus on the 2B?
That is a great question. So what we're really doing with that is you got to have a good output coming out of that design session. And something Stratum has helped us do is visually map out all of our processes. I think if you looked across the board at what we had, we had a lot of processes that were maybe documented somewhat, but you couldn't clearly see this is our process for this. And so we clearly map that out. And that's something we can then go have conversations around, and people can follow through and understand, this is my part in this process. Yeah, that looks correct, right? So,
and then, and I'm telling you, listeners out there, mapping those processes. Now, do you, with I'm sorry, I'm jumping because I'm pretty excited about this. Mapping those processes are key because it provides a visual representation of what you're, as is, to be's, all of the gaps, everything that's there, and the documents and all of that good stuff. And so everybody can be on the right, on the same page, whether they agree or not, at least they've had that visual representation. So I don't see how you get around implementing a enterprise type of solution without doing that, without documenting. The question I ask for you, when I've done it in the past, I try to keep it relatively simple with, you know, squares, here's a decision, this is a document, and here's a formal process, and then we just keep going from there. Do you guys try to keep it simple, or do you start throwing in a level of I don't know how you want to call it, but detail I don't know. Talk to me about that.
We want it easy enough for anybody, any of our users, to pick up and be able to follow and read through. And so Stratum had some fantastic templates to get us started and really helped us be successful in this area. And not only are they important to have as that foundation to understand what you're going to do, but now my team that's going to go configure the system, they know what they're going to configure to. And if we make any changes, like, we know who we need to go talk to. We know who to have test what, because we've got all that mapped out and documented. So it's going to make our configuration stages much smoother.
So are you mapping the process maps, the to-be process maps, with the functionality of your enterprise EAM system?
In a way, we ignored the system, right? We ignored the technology in our processes. We went through the process and said, what do we want to be doing as a company? And don't mold it to what EAM system we're going to have. That's my job. That's my team's job, to go out and figure out what's the best solution to get us to that point. But
so this is interesting, because the typical, you have to, again, understand the to be's, your processes, the way your clients, your service provider, your clients want it to be, and then be able to find a system that you can take that process map and say, okay, I got it. Now I got to find a system that sort of does that, or has the flexibility and configurability to do that.
Yeah. And so our review process to go look at new EAM systems was, we knew we needed a configurable system that was going to give us the capabilities to do much more with our processes. And what we've learned through a lot of mistakes with other products in the past is, you don't want to force a system to do a process that we want to do. And so
that's called money.
That's right. And errors, right?
And errors. I've been there, done that. It's a little bit easier today with the technology and how structurally and architecturally they've built systems.
Yep.
But I'm fascinated. Now, in your form, okay, this is pen and paper time, you listeners out there, because we've talked about one, the necessity to understand the problem. That's not just with the co-op and what Joey's dealing with. It's important within any business to understand that problem. Two, be able to have and understand the business. You can't just go in there and not have an understanding of the business. That's two. That's important. And then you got to have, even within other organizations, cross-functional teams who have some sort of vested interest in the implementation of the technology. Because the bottom line is, you're going to have to implement some sort of solution, technology, to be able to, I don't know, be successful going forward. Because nowadays, data's king here, and you've got to pull it and be able to dissect it. So with that, laying that foundation there, Joey, let's talk a little bit about the points that you brought up from an actionable point of view. Let me read one out. You said a product evaluation, okay?
Yep.
From the user out. and how design thinking principles can help. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So we did a very extensive product evaluation to pick what our next EAM system was going to be. And so where did we start with that? We did not start with technology, right? When you start with technology and no vision, you're going to go nowhere and you're going to find a bad solution. And so what we started with was really a research phase, and we formed a small team.
I got to ask the question.
Go ahead.
I mean, there's that point where you said, hey, we've got to do it. What was that before you go into any products, what was the conversation you were having beforehand saying, you know, we really need something?
Yeah, that's a good question. So with all of our products, we want to make sure that we're always staying up to date with what the market's doing out there. Yep. And so we set time frames on different size products within our company to make sure that we're keeping an eye out there. EAM systems are a big strategic system. And so we set that at 10 years. And so every 10 years, we're going to go pop our head out and look out and see, did any other product really grow in this time frame? And is the one that we're on kind of stay still and not move to make sure that we're staying on the best system that we can for our users? So we do that with every system.
Go ahead. So you have a 10-year, right? I mean, and I would imagine it changes from system to system too, depending on, but because it's an enterprise system, I mean, 10 years, there's a lot of changes that have taken place with enterprise system. I mean, that you're popping your head up and you're seeing some gargantuan improvements and capabilities. And were you on an EAM system prior to?
We were.
Did you stay with it, or are you doing another product?
We're doing another product. Right. And that's why we're going through the whole implementation. And what we do, and we don't expect to change very often, right? And we don't change very often. A lot of times it's a very lightweight thing. We go out, we look, and we realize, okay, nobody's really just moved significantly. But with our current EAM system, that was back in 2005. So there's been a little bit more time. And so much has changed in the industry. And we're a different company today than we were 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we went out and we looked and said, what fits our company and our needs? And we realized, hey, there's some interesting products out there. And so with that lightweight evaluation, and another resource we used is Gartner. We've got a relationship with Gartner. They've got their Magic Quadrant. We actually have a subscription with them where we get access to analysts who do this research. And so we can talk one-on-one with them, and they... They've been a good help for us, but they really helped get us some insights into these products and to show us it's worth doing an evaluation and seeing should we make the switch or should we stay status quo.
I mean, how long did that take? I mean, you're that didn't happen overnight. I mean, your evaluation of a new enterprise system, based off of what I hear you saying, that didn't just, you know, I mean, you didn't just willy-nilly just boom, go. You did a lot of evaluation. Because you pulled in Gartner.
So what I just mentioned was about 2 months, right? For us to say, hey, we're going to go do an evaluation.
Yeah.
And then when we got time to do an evaluation, we spent well over a year doing an evaluation on this product. And because it is such a strategic product and you only make these decisions once every 10 years, hopefully not. Hopefully we stay with our current product longer.
And was your product evaluation one component, flexibility and the ability to scale and to accommodate changes with what's going on?
Absolutely. And so what that looked like is we started with that research stage, back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Don't start with the technology. Don't start with the products. Go out, talk to users. I personally interviewed, you know, 50 plus users throughout the course of the company that use this system on a daily basis. And we condensed all those notes down to really kind of understand where are the gaps in our current system. And based on those interviews and that research, that's where we built out our evaluation matrix. So before we even engaged with products, we built our own evaluation matrix to say, these are the things that are important to us. And we gave them all weights and grades and scales. And we said, when we do go look, We're going to plug answers into this, and this is going to give us a score that tells us what product is right for us.
See, that's vitally important. So I like that approach, because unfortunately, listeners, the opposite happens. Somebody purchases a system that does not. You were able, because it starts to pull in number two, you were able to pull in individuals, the users, the people on the front line that understand, like, darn it, this system needs to do X, Y, Z. I read that another system, whatever, this functionality doesn't exist, and it would be great.
Yes.
And you need that. You need that insight. You need that intel.
Yeah, and I think the other mistake people make, and I've been guilty of it too, right? I've had to grow over time to get to where we are today, but you start going and talking to vendors without your vision of what you even want, or without your requirements. And when you do that, you're listening to demos and sales pitches that don't even match what you need as a company. Yeah. And so you're setting your both up to fail and to waste both your times. And so we really try to make sure we have our requirements well-defined, and we send a packet of information to vendors for the first time so they know exactly what they're getting into, what we are as a company, and what we need, so they can equip for success to talk with us.
Okay, so you said, hey, based off of the pre-work that I've done, the evaluation of the working with the people, we come up with our requirements associated with our enterprise system. We're poking our head out in 10 years. We're looking, and because of that, that's where you want to spend the money in the beginning, is up front. Because once you go down that road and you identify and it's not the right fit, that's when you start burning cash big time. Then
that's right.
So you've got it. Now you're just talking about implementing. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think there's even more I want to touch on that I think is really valuable,
please.
And really and really useful. And so, I mean, we're just now to the point where we're reaching out to vendors and getting those in. And so we do this as a project team, which is this is four or five people that's throughout the organization, one from each, division or functional group, to keep the team small and moving fast.
We
do the initial round of product reviews, and we really try to cull that list down to two or three. Two is the ideal number. And then once we get to that point, this is the key point in the process that made our decision, made us extremely confident in the decision that we made and the investment that we made in our EAM system. And that is our deep dive process that we did with this one. And so this is where we get back to the users. Before we were comfortable making any decision, we went out, we created scorecards, and we created demos with the final two products, final three products that we had. And these were on site, one, 2, 3 days. We gave the vendors the choice of how many days do you want to spend with us. And we had the same group of people, and it was about 30 people total, 30 users of the system, that we had come to all three demos to score them all equally and fairly. And we used their scores to tell us which system we were going to invest in.
Beautiful. Because now all of a sudden they've just committed. And once they said, this is our system, then they can't come back and say, I don't like this system. Once you start to implement, they're bought in. They had to buy in. And got them into the whole process. You brought them in.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
And beyond that, right, once you start looking at the numbers, it's clear, right? It's clear what system's right for us, because they're scoring, once you get your evaluation matrix and your scorecards and everything right, because the scorecards fed into that evaluation matrix that I told you we got at the beginning. And a lot of that, we talk about it, and we can share some of that information. And, that includes viability, company support. We dig into their support processes and go ahead.
Wow. I was going to say, can I shamelessly ask for some templates to put out on the podcast? Say, hey, download them. This is a great thing.
Yeah.
Why recreate the wheel when you can take advantage of Joey's insight and his team?
We can absolutely do that. So there are several different areas that parts of the team, you know, that I would be reviewing. When it got to viability, you know, that was worth 10 or 15% of the total score. That's when our key leaders, some executives in our company, they rated company viability. So they looked into things, how much are they putting into R&D? You know, what's the 10-year range look like for this company? Yeah. You know, we don't want to invest in a company that doesn't have a good roadmap or hasn't been hitting the roadmap in the last 6 months, 12 months. So we looked into all different angles that we could to make sure that we're picking a company that's going to be right for us for the long term.
Okay. You know, we've been talking for a little while. We're going to have to wrap it up. Let me ask you this one last question.
Sure.
Where are you at on your implementation of the your EAM product?
Yeah. So Stratum has got us through the discovery and the design. So we've got our 2B processes all filled out. We've got all our processes mapped out. And we are through the global configuration, and we're hitting that core functional configuration stage. And that's including configuring of, you know, all the processes that we defined into the system, data migration, and all of our interfaces.
That's a whole other topic, that whole data migration stuff.
Tell me about it. So that's a big one we're working on, but we're excited.
I get a little shiver.
But we're excited about it. We've got a good path that we think we can add a lot of value without interrupting our transactional database.
So when do you have the go live?
So we're not set to go live until September 2020.
Yeah. Wow.
So we've got a lot of work ahead of us left in a long project. But and part of that date, too, is competing in between two major outages that we have at two different plants. So we're trying to hit right in that middle to give room for our outages to be over with and our users ready to absorb a new system.
Well, Joey, I hate to call it a podcast, but I have to call it a podcast. You were fantastic. Now, listeners out there, you can reach out to Joey. You're out on LinkedIn because I've seen your stat card. It's pretty impressive, my friend. Let me just sort of look at it. Yep, I'm looking at it right now. Stat card, very good. Reach out to him. That's Joey Pate. That's J-O-E-Y-P-A-T-E. Reach out to him. You will not be disappointed because I know that you're implementing a system. I'm telling you, you need to pick his brain. He knows what's going on. And stay tuned. We're going to be on the other side. I'm going to wrap it up. And all of this information, every single bit of this information, will be out on industrialtalk.com. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean about Joey Pate? You got to reach out to that rock star. Go to his LinkedIn account, Joey Pate, and find out more. You will not be disappointed to connect with that fine man, because he's going to help you succeed in that. Whatever that project is, he's got some insights. He's been there, done that, and he's wrestling quite a number of opportunities there. And you can find his interview at industrialtalk.com/Stratum Consulting. Once again, industrialtalk.com/Stratum Consulting. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that's exciting stuff. And then also go to industrialtalk.com, find out more about the Industrial Academy. We've got a webinar coming up, and I'm going to ask you this, you know, basic question. Are you ready for 2020? Is your sales and marketing platform tuned up and ready to go to be successful into 2020? You industrial pro out there? There's a webinar that is specific to you. Go out to industrialtalk.com. It's on the homepage. It's easy to get to. No friction there. Sign up. Find out more. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. You know, you're going to change the world. Thank you. We're going to have another great interview on its way. Take care. Be safe.